I would invite your attention today to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. While you're turning there, I would share with you and invite you. In September of 2020, we're planning a trip to Israel, trip to the Holy Land. And I'm planning on leading that trip, and it's going to be a great time. If you've never been to Israel, I cannot express to you the education that it is within a 10-day period. But you see those places that, of course, the Bible talks about where Jesus was. It's something to sit on the Mount of Beatitudes. It's something to ride in the Sea of Galilee. It's something to be in the River Jordan area where Jesus was baptized. It just does something to you, but it also educates you tremendously. And if you are interested in joining us, and we're not asking for a hard, firm commitment at this point. But if you are interested, we are having an informational meeting at 5 o'clock this evening in the college classroom, which is back just out from the fellowship hall there. Come and be a part. We've got our official trip brochures planned and the itinerary planned and the information to give to you so you can make a decision. If you're at all interested, you come and you be at that meeting, okay? And we'll be explaining more at that meeting. All right? But right now, let's turn our attention to Acts chapter 16. Would you stand with me as we continue our study in the book of Acts as Jesus builds His church? Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran straight course to Samothrace. The next day we came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. And she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, we just come to you to submit to you and to surrender our will to your will. I pray, Lord, that you will take this message, take this scripture, and apply it to each of our lives, Lord. From within me to within everyone present, I pray that you will move freely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, I'm going to try to make this a very simple message today, and I want you to learn three things. I'm going to tell you these three things from the beginning, then I'm going to go through and I'm going to preach these three things, and hopefully we'll all end at the same time, okay? Three things I want you to understand about the Holy Spirit of God, which we started last week. Number one, the Holy Spirit of God always knows what He is doing, okay? First and foremost, one, the Holy Spirit of God always... Now, let's say that together. I want you to get this, okay? The Holy Spirit of God always knows what He's doing. One more time. The Holy Spirit of God always knows what He's doing. Number two, God will do great things in people who are willing to listen. God will do great things in people who are willing to listen. God will do great things in people who are willing to listen. And number three, where God leads, He will always provide. Where God leads, He will always provide. All right? Three very simple statements, and I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know today. However, I hope to remind you of some things that maybe we fail to look at sometimes. Number one, we're going to start with the providence of the Holy Spirit. Paul met a lady in the text, a lady, a worshiper of God named Lydia. And that phrase, worshiper of God, means it was used to describe a non-Jew who acknowledged and worshiped the God of Israel. And this lady Lydia, along with several other ladies, on the Sabbath day would walk about a mile and a half from the city of Philippi down to the river's edge to a place that they had all designated as a place of prayer. She was a lady whose name meant trouble. Do we have any of those ladies today? No, I don't mean she was trouble. I mean her name meant distress, tribulation, trouble, anguish. And I suspect she was a lady that was just doing what she knew how to do. She was a non-Jew going down the river, or going down to the river every Sabbath day to pray, meeting with other ladies because they didn't know what else to do either. You see, there wasn't a synagogue in the city of Philippi. You had to have 10 men to have a synagogue, 10 believing Jewish men to have a synagogue and provide the instructions that was necessary for the synagogue. So they didn't even have that. They just had a bunch of ladies who met for prayer. Kind of reminds me of today. You know, ladies have carried our churches along the way. You know that, right? Those good, faithful ladies. When we men didn't assume our position, stepped in and have kept the churches going, quite honestly. But that's kind of how I see this lady named Lydia. But I also see Paul going to the city of Philippi, meeting this dear lady named Lydia. And I'll go back and I think, you know, Paul's doing a great work in Philippi. But it takes me back to the point of, how did he get there? How did he get there? You remember last week we preached about this, but I'm going to remind you. I'll go back to verse 6 of this same chapter. And Paul said he wanted to preach the gospel in Asia and Galatia, but he was what? Forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Then he was going to preach in Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit him to do so. You know what the Spirit of God was doing? He was moving Paul just exactly where he wanted him to be. You see, the Holy Spirit of God. God knew these ladies were meeting every Sabbath day by the riverside and praying. That's why God, after that, gave Paul a vision of a man in Macedonia that said, come to Macedonia and help us, because he knew these people were there and they needed to hear the gospel. And you know, if I were Paul, I would probably say about the second time that the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to preach there either, I'd have said, well, I'll just quit a while. When all that was needed was to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because God knew exactly what he was doing. And I want you to repeat that with me again. God knows what he's doing. All right? It doesn't matter where you are and what you're going through. And you may question, God, why do you have me here? You may be experiencing financial trouble. You may be experiencing marital trouble, child trouble. You may have all kinds of trouble. But let me tell you something. God knows you're there. He has not forsaken you. He will not forsake you. He knows exactly where you are, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And quite often, what he's doing is preparing you for tomorrow. You see, I don't know how much time passed between the time Paul was told, no, you can't preach in these places, to the time he met these ladies by the riverside in Philippi. But there was a time past. And you know what God was doing? He was preparing Paul at that point to be at the riverside meeting these ladies at this point that we're reading about today. I have discovered that most of the time, God is preparing me for what I'm going to have to face tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year. You know? So before you complain, before you say, God, I don't like where I am, you just understand God knows what you're going to face next week. God knows who you're going to meet on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And the month of November and the months of December. He knows who you're going to meet in 2020. I look back at each church that I've pastored. I've pastored four churches. And I look back and I think, man, I was so dumb. And I was. I started out in a little church in the country. Morris Chapel, Missionary Baptist Church. And boy, I had the world by the tail when I accepted that church, you know, the pastor. And there were a handful of folks, and I don't know, there were probably 20 of us. And I thought, boy, Lord, this is great. And I spent a year there. And then God sent me to Mississippi. And I got to Mississippi, and you know what I discovered? The year I spent at Morris Chapel in Des Arc prepared me for Mississippi. Then I spent almost 10 years in Mississippi. And good ministry there, great people there. And I went, come back to Lone Oak, Arkansas. And I discovered after I got back to Lone Oak, Arkansas, for 10 years, God had me in school preparing me for Lone Oak. Was there for 7 years and came to Victory. Been here for 9 years. You know what I've discovered? And I had some tough times in Lone Oak, I'll just tell you, you know. But it's okay. God knew what He was doing. Because what happened in Lone Oak prepared me for Victory. It gave me an appreciation for Victory. And you know, before you decide God has abandoned you, you just back up and realize He hadn't abandoned you. He's preparing you. Because He knows what you face tomorrow. So let's just repeat this one more time, okay? God always knows what He's doing. You ready? God always knows what He's doing. All right? Second thing we're going to examine is the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, Paul said, we sat down and spoke with the women who met there on the riverside. And I wonder what they talked about. I know what they talked about. They talked about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that lady knew there was a God, but she didn't know about the Messiah. And the Bible says, the text says, God opened her heart and Paul shared with her the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of her convicted her of her sin and she was saved. Isn't that cool? Do you realize God's still in the life-changing business today? People can still be saved. You say, oh, Brother Doug, it's not for me. Yes, it is for you. You don't understand how bad I've been. I understand how bad you've been. You've been just as bad as the rest of us. Amen? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to understand this one thing today. There is power in the power of God to deliver you from the depth of sin that you are caught up in. This God that Paul is preaching, this Jesus that Paul is preaching, is just as powerful today as He was when Paul preached to Lydia. And let me tell you, God opened this lady's heart and Lydia was saved. But here's the really good part, okay? It didn't just stop there. What happened? Lydia told her household. Her family. Now, I don't know how many were in her family. It doesn't matter. But in verse 13, Lydia's heart was open. Verse 14, verse 15, her household was baptized. Let me tell you, when God starts working, when the Holy Spirit of God starts moving, it's hard to contain. He's hard to, and that's the way it's supposed to work. Have you ever noticed that as victory grows, it does it in spurts? Any church does. Why? Because somebody will come join the church, then they'll go tell somebody else about what Victory Baptist Church is, and they'll share Jesus Christ, and they'll come and they'll like it and be saved, and then they'll go out and tell it, and it's like the flu. But in a good way. It's catchy. Understand what you have is catchy. All right? That's the way it's designed to be. And it did not just stop with Lydia and her household. You go a little farther and you read the story of the Philippian jailer who threw Paul in the inner prison at midnight. There was an earthquake. And the doors were open and the jailer thought, everybody's escaped. I'm going to kill myself. And Paul said, don't kill yourself. You know what happened to that Philippian jailer? Paul told him about Jesus. And after Paul told him about Jesus, he was saved also. And it wasn't just him. It was he and his household. See, this Jesus thing's getting out of control. And it all started because Paul realized that God knew what he was doing in the very beginning when the Holy Spirit said, don't go here, don't go here. I want you to go over here. Oh, let me tell you, there's power in the Holy Spirit of God. What we've got to be willing to do, and catch this, is listen. God will do great things in people who will listen. Now, I told you last week, but I'm going to tell you again this week, God speaks. God speaks. And you can, because as the child of God, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. He's living on the inside of you. There are times as a preacher, people have looked at me and say, preacher, you have lost your mind. But it's okay. They're right. But there are some things I just know this is the direction that the Lord wants us to go. Back when we were doing the building program 3 years ago, and I said, what we need to do is we need to raise $500,000 for the building program. And if we raise $500,000 for the building program, then we'll proceed with the building program. People looked at me and that's what, some of you thought I was nuts. Didn't you? It's true. Some, I know it. This preacher has, you know, I get it. But you'll never convince me of anything else but that. That did not come from God. Okay? Because in a year's time, through the generous hearts of the people of Victory, we didn't raise $500,000. We didn't raise $550,000. I don't know, when it was all said and done, we were up from $600,000, maybe even, I don't remember, $700,000. It was tremendous. Why? Because the people of Victory Baptist Church listened to God. Not to this preacher, but to God. Yes, God laid the burden upon my heart, but I want to tell you what. I've also figured out, most of the time God doesn't just burden my heart, He burdens others' hearts also. I want you to understand there's power in the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to understand that it's not just for things like building programs and raising money. And that's the least important. You know what's the most important? Is the Jesus still changes lives. Those people that you have given up on, Jesus can still reach them. And we need to act like He can. You know, see, that's what we forget to do. We're just, oh, you know, I've been telling them about Jesus forever and it hadn't done anything. God's still God. Let Him be God. And God can do great things through those people who will listen. It starts with you and I, those who are saved, listening to God as He opens the door for us to be a witness. To tell people about Jesus. Do you? You say, no, listen. Listen to God. I truly believe. Have you ever just had that feeling? I need to go talk to that friend. I need to go talk to that loved one. I need to go. That's not just out of the blue. That's from God. And then that voice on the inside of you says, you need to go. And then there's another voice that says, it won't do any good. Don't waste your time. Don't listen to that voice. That's not God. But that voice is saying, go, go, go. That's the voice you listen to. And you understand, if we will listen, then we put the lost in a position to hear and to listen to the message of God. Oh, listen, folks. There's power in the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go on. Not only is there power, but there is provision in the Holy Spirit of God. I love how this story develops. Paul tells them about Jesus Christ, and they're saved, and they're baptized. And look what Lydia did next. It says she begged them to come to her house. Y'all, if you have counted me, judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Paul says, so she persuaded us. Not only was this lady changed, the Holy Spirit of God opened her heart to help God's men. And we look at this and we think, well, this wasn't a, she invited Paul to come stay with her. It wasn't just Paul. It was four guys. It was Paul, it was Silas, it was Timothy, and it was Luke. How would you like to move four men into your house? That's what Lydia did. Why? Because the provision of God. God's providing for those men. And now, after this lady saved, Paul has a headquarters to launch this gospel campaign into the city of Philippi. And I look and I think, boy, she must have been some kind of lady. She couldn't preach the gospel. But she said, I can help these guys who are preaching the gospel. Here's what we ought to understand. Where God leads, He will always provide. Can you say it with me? Where God leads, He will always provide. We look at men like Paul and we say, man, they're heroes of the faith. And they are. Men that are like all the apostles. Peter, and we look at guys like Timothy and Silas and Barnabas that we'd studied about earlier in the boy, they're heroes. But do you know why they could be preachers? The apostles, the men of God that they were? Because there were other heroes who were saying, come stay at my house. I want to help you so that you can do what God has called you to do. See, I get at this point and I think of where I've been as a pastor. Yes, I've been preaching for just over 25 years. Somewhere in that neighborhood, hadn't figured it up lately. And you know why I'm still preaching? Because through the years, people have come to my side and said, let me help you. Let me help you. And just as important as the man of God is, are the people who are saying, okay, I may not be the preacher, but I'm the guy that God has sent to enable you to preach. That's what Lydia did. That's why it was such a huge blessing. I look at where I've been, and when I came to Victory, I'm not going to name any names. I could, but I'm not. And I say that positively, okay? But when I came to Victory, you know somebody loaned Beth and I their house? Said, y'all just come in here and y'all take our house. They were working out of town, and they said, y'all just come in here and take our house and live here till you find your place. So you know what? I did. What a blessing. What a blessing. Through the years, I know a man who's told me repeatedly, I can't preach, but I can help the men who do. And every time I turn around, this guy's helping the men who do. I know people who have been friends to myself as well as others, given me their friendship, taking us out to eat from time to time. I know people that have provided medical things for us. And I try to pay, oh, no. But I backed up when I was studying this, and it was very humbling. And I thought, wow. I'm able to preach the gospel because of people like that. And not only people like that, but I'm able to preach the gospel because there are people every Sunday who give faithfully to the ministry. And at this point, it makes me say thank you guys for enabling me to do what God has called me to do. On behalf of the rest of the staff, we say thank you. Thank you, church members, for enabling us to do what God has called us to do. Because I promise you this, I could get a job somewhere, but there would be no satisfaction and I'd be the most miserable man you've ever seen. I'd be like the Apostle Paul. Woe unto me if I couldn't preach the gospel. You know? I want to challenge you. God always provides, but He uses God's people to provide. Now, we had a missions conference a couple weeks ago. Man, you did wonderful. Oh, I was so proud of the Victory family. But I want to give you another challenge. I want to challenge you. Find you a missionary in the next 6 months and bless him. Be that person, you know, where you can say, well, God hadn't called me to be a missionary, but I can help you. And go see that dude. Okay? Number one, go visit him. Go visit in their church. You need some help, we'll help you. We've got a mission committee, they'll help you with it. And when you get there, take that guy out to eat and say, we just want to buy your dinner. Give him a love offering. Do something to encourage that man. And it doesn't have to be. If it's our missionary, great. You know, being in Colombia, great. If it's another missionary somewhere, great. But find that man and say, I'm going to bless that guy. I'm going to bless him. Why? Because I am so very blessed to be your pastor. You take care of my needs. You provide, you bless me, and I thank you so much for that. But I'm also reminded that there are a lot of men out in the field that do not have the same blessings that I have. You see, when I come here, I have you to preach to. And I praise God for that. You don't know what that does to my heart. I look at it, and then I think there are missionaries out on the field that when they go to church, they don't know if they're going to have any more than their family to preach to. When I work here on Monday through Friday or Sunday through Thursday, you know, when I don't come into the office alone. I've got a church staff. And when I get where I'm discouraged, I'll call old Michael and I'll complain in his ear. Michael, I don't like this. This is going wrong. And and we'll whine on one of their shoulders. We've got support. There's a lot of guys out there that don't have that. Do Ken and Kelly the same way, you know? Challenge. The next 6 months, find you that missionary and say, I'm going to be the Lydia. I'm going to be the person that enables them, that encourages them, that helps them do what God has called them to do. God always provides. Oh, I forgot the last slide. I'm sorry. God always provides. But He uses God's people to do it most often. You know that? That's you and I. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, I got to talk to you for just a moment, and I got to tell you, you need to be saved. There is a heaven. There is a hell. The good news is, this life is not all there is. You know that? This life's not all that there is. One of these days, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. There's one or two choices. There's a heaven and there's a hell. There's a heaven for all those who've placed their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And it's just as real as this is where you are today. But there is also a hell. The Bible talks about gnashing of teeth, where the fire is never quenched. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want the glories of heaven. Amen? I want heaven. I choose heaven. How do I get heaven? Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took your sin to the cross of Calvary. We talk about His death and His being crucified. That was all because of you and because of me. Somebody had to pay for our sin. That was Jesus. And because you couldn't do anything to earn your salvation, Jesus said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. Okay? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You mean, Brother Doug, I just placed my faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Oh, that's too easy. There's got to be more to it than that. If there was any more to it than that, you couldn't do it. What am I inviting you to do? I'm inviting you to receive salvation from Jesus Christ. You've got to know God brought you here today. Okay? The providence of the Holy Spirit. He brought you here. He didn't bring you here to pass a couple hours of the day. He brought you here to save you. Okay? And He has the power to transform your life. But you've got to take the step. You can walk out of here a new creation in Christ Jesus, or you can walk out of here the same old guy. But let me ask you this. If it's not working, why keep doing it? You know, if you're lost, it's not working. Why keep doing it? I want to invite you to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've already done that. You know that if you were to die today, you would spend eternity in heaven. Wonderful. Wonderful. Accept the challenges of the message today. Understand that we serve a mighty God. He can do anything. He can change lives. And when God speaks to your heart, you respond to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Maybe you're here today and you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Maybe you need to come for church membership, whatever the spiritual need is. Let Jesus have His way. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. Oh, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the power of Your Holy Spirit. Now I pray that You will convict of sin and that You will draw all men to You. And I pray, Lord, that just like Lydia, You will open hearts to You and to Your Word today. We love You, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you